Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
Teenagers long to belong. Maybe you remember. It can be an awkward and even difficult time. Writer and editor Anna Mead Harris tells us that today, the influence of social media and the limitations imposed by the pandemic are all making these years even more difficult to navigate in healthy ways. And today we're going to talk about it. Welcome to Family Life's Inside Out. I'm Martha Manikas Foster, and today I get to talk with Anna Mead Harris. She's the editor-in-chief for the Rooted Ministry blog, focused on effective teen discipleship. And she's the author of the Gospel Coalition article, Breaking Social Media's Grip on Teens. Welcome, Anna, to Inside Out.
Thank you for having me, Martha.
This is a fascinating topic, and I am very excited to be talking to you about it. There's just such a huge pull during our teenage years to belong. I mean, it's not just only in our teenage years, but especially it seems like in our teenage years.
Yes.
What's the downside for teens if they depend on social media as their primary way to find belonging?
Yeah, so you're so right. I mean, I'm still experiencing this, and I've been an adult for a long time. We all want to belong. This is just really human, and teens are really experiencing it and navigating it for themselves for the first time. And when you think about it, when our children are little, they belong where their parents belong, to the churches or the schools where their parents send them. Uh-huh. But as teenagers, they have more flexibility. They maybe work a part-time job after school, or they have cars, and mm-hmm. they can make some more choices for themselves. Mm-hmm. So they're figuring out how to belong. And the danger of social media is that so much of it there is incomplete and unreal and unembodied. So it leads to a shallowness of knowing and a shallow connecting and sort of a belonging that's somewhat artificial. You know, when we post something on social media, we have to pick an image, we might put a filter on the image, and then we have a limited number of words, and we can't convey everything that we might convey when we're in person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what happens is that teenagers think that they know people through their social media posts, but the actual fact is we can't know people until we have spent time in their presence. Social media also impacts group dynamics. And so there are group chats and group me's and Snapchat friends and that kind of thing, but again, the dynamics are not the same on social media as they will be in person. So you can have a group that gathers on social media, and the way they interact is going to be very different if you've got someone who's really witty in the Snapchat, but they're shy in person. The group's not going to know them as well, and it allows people to be different than they are in real person. I love Gene Twenge and Jonathan Haidt compare time logged on social media as the nutritional equivalent of empty calories. Just as we don't expect our bodies to grow healthy like eating Cheetos and ice cream, mm-hmm. we can't expect our relationships to grow healthy when they're conducted solely over social media.
Mm. So in your article, your very helpful article, Breaking Social Media's Grip on Teens, you share that adults can intervene, adults can help, and you share some ways that they can help the teens that they love, that they interact with. And one is to help them see that social media connections are really just a shadow of what we find in in-person community, like you've just said. So, Anna, how can adults help teens identify and prioritize actual in-person connection, especially if social media is an easier way to do it?
This is hard, and we have to remember we're fighting this too. Adults are susceptible to this too, so we can have some sympathy, and we as adults can think about what works for us to pull us away from social media. Mm. Well, something else has to be more interesting, more engaging than Facebook mm-hmm. or Instagram. And what we hope to show our kids is that being face-to-face with people is that much more interesting, that much more engaging, that much more comforting. enjoyable than, you know, being on social media. And I think it starts with we as adults, as parents, putting our own phones down. If we're distracted. I mean, it's hard. None of this is easy. If we're distracted, we're going to miss opportunities to connect with our kids. And, you know, I hear it all the time, moms and dads talking about their kids fussing at them to put their phones down. Mm. And we need to listen when our kids say these things to us. So we pay attention to our children when they're talking to us. When they are home, it would be a good time to put the phone on the charger and just be present. And not just when they're actively wanting to engage with you, but if they come into the kitchen and you're on the phone, they're probably not going to start conversation.
Yes.
But if you are cooking, they're going to be more likely to step in and start to engage with you unless your face is on the phone. Mm-hmm. So I think we start in our homes, mm-hmm. prioritizing face-to-face, personal interaction, doing things together in our homes. And, you know, the other thing I think would be to show a lot of hospitality, have people over, visit with your neighbors in the street, go to church, get in the car and go see people in person rather than just talking on the phone or texting. Mm-hmm. Do things together, like teach your kids to cook, teach them how to, you know, use the weed eater out in the yard. Mm-hmm. Take a hike, ride bikes, like do things together that involve being unplugged mm-hmm. without looking at your phone. It's always good to grab a little kid like a niece or a nephew or a next door neighbor because little kids are so demanding and you can't be on your phone, you know. So grab some small child that you know and invite them into the home. You know, get your teenager to babysit with you for the afternoon. Uh-huh. That little child will keep you engaged and physically actually interacting with people.
Let me just reset our conversation for anyone who's just joining us. Let me reintroduce you. You're listening to the Inside Out podcast on family life. Today I'm talking with Anna Mead Harris, who's written the Gospel Coalition article Breaking Social Media's Grip on Teens. Anna, you say that adults have the opportunity to show teens the delights of embodied community. You've just talked about modeling that. What does embodied community look like? Is it different than what you've already described?
Yeah, so the word embodied is what it sounds like. Embodied means present in the body.
Okay.
And so what we're talking about is showing teenagers that being present with a person face-to-face and interacting face-to-face is preferable to interacting when you're separated from a screen.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that you want to think about is actually doing things together. Another thing that you want to think about is how you communicate and how you listen with your teenagers. And I think we want to, you know, pray with them. I think we want to share God's word with them. Mm-hmm. I think we also want to have some family inside jokes that give them a sense of this family community. Our family really loves, for example, The Office and Parks and Rec. Both of those TV shows, we've watched all those together. And so we have inside jokes about those things. And, you know, we'll drop little phrases in, oh, you know, you're being such a Michael Scott right
mm-hmm,
now, or
sure.
you're acting just like Dwight Schrute or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, those little things kind of give them a sense of belonging when we're together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is one of the ways where we can really make our children feel secure within our families. And then taking it out to the larger group, actually going to church. This is one of the important things that we've lost with the pandemic.
Sure.
Actually being part of a small group or, you know, having your children go to youth group and maybe mom or dad volunteers with the youth group. Actually being with friends again, inviting people into your home and then actually, you know, visiting other people and serving where you can. Those things are opening back up.
Mm-hmm.
And doing those things physically present together is going to establish a sense of belonging that teenagers desperately need.
So as a person who has opened my home to many, many, many teenagers over the years, but before everybody had a cell phone at age 12 or whatever, is it appropriate at this point to say, hey, this is the shelf you're going to put your cell phone on while you come in? Or is the hope that the pizza and the conversation and the debates that develop will just be so engaging that they naturally put the phones down?
Oh, boy. Well, the second would be what you would hope for.
Oh, yes.
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But, I think you can move towards that. If the kids are comfortable in your home, you can start to kind of tease them. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, you know, is that so much more interesting than, you know, the game that we're playing right mm-hmm. now? And cajole them, because I think that maybe your home can be a safe place for them to feel comfortable to put away the phone. I mean, the fact of the matter is a lot of them are hiding behind the phones, right?
Sure, sure.
And so if we can have them over and have them have a lot of fun in our house, they don't need to hide. If they can be real in our house and tell us how things really are, they don't need to hide behind the phone. So if we can make our home a place where they don't want to hide, mm-hmm. maybe they'll be more likely to put the phone down.
I like that idea, because the idea of having a rule just sounds immediately, somebody might choose not to come over anymore.
Here, I agree.
Asking teens to put down their devices and engage face-to-face is asking them to get messy, and you don't need to be a teenager to not want to get messy. You know, the whole getting embarrassed or feeling like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And then the apologies, the forgiveness, all of that. How can adults help teenagers actually go into the messy and negotiate and navigate conflict and rejection and maybe the need to say, I'm sorry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like you say, we're still learning this as adults.
Yeah.
I think it helps if we can normalize conflict and normalize disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
You can still be friends with someone even if you don't see things the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have some pretty big disagreements. However, rejection is also normal. And, I mean, Jesus was rejected, lived his life rejected. And if it happened to him, it's certainly going to happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that some of this is going to happen to them in their homes and in the world
mm-hmm.
helps them not be so surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can practice these skills in our homes. We can talk about apologies. We can walk through forgiveness. We can approach the hard topics in our home openly and say, I didn't like it when you
mm-hmm.
did this.
Mm-hmm.
It made me feel. Practice those skills with them at home so that they can translate that out into the world. I shared a story in the article. Russell Moore talks about how his grandmother kept him from Baptist business meetings
right.
because people behaved so badly in those business meetings. But yet when the time came, they took their son to a meeting at church that they knew was going to be contentious, and they would hear his father criticize.
Uh-huh.
And then they talked to him about that. And I just think that is what is needed in our world, is not to be afraid that you will get pushback and you will have disagreements with people, but know that you can love them anyway and they can love you anyway, and you can get through these things with open communication and forgiveness. And ultimately, our security is found in Jesus, not in our relationships with other people. And
mm-hmm.
stressing that always, in Christ, they're utterly accepted. They belong completely, permanently. There's forgiveness when they sin, and there's help when they're weak, and there's correction when they need that.
Mm-hmm.
So they have these things in Christ. They are secure. And if we can help them feel that in Christ, help them to the extent we can feel that in our homes,
mm-hmm.
then the things of the world will hurt, but they will not crush them.
Mm-hmm. And what a maturing exercise for the adults in the situation. right?
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah. I feel like we're old enough as the adults in the situation to already know this and to actually live out what we know. But there are times I think that we can be less than what we could be. And the idea that we could be using this as an opportunity to teach is a way of saying, you know, Jesus, make me the best that you have intended me to be in this situation. Mm. Yeah.
Wow. Yes, absolutely. And I think it always helps my kids when I tell them that I'm struggling with a version of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's not like I'm an adult. Jesus has made me all perfect. Right. And I'm expecting you to get where I am as the, you know, the grown up.
Right.
I used to always tell them that I have three boys. I'm just your big sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I am still learning many of the things you're learning. And so let's do it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thanks for taking some time to talk to me. And thank you for writing this article. I really appreciate this. And there's no question that we've all been through this pandemic. And we know that so many things have changed. And we know that children and teens have really borne the brunt of a lot of this. And so your article has been so incredibly helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I actually will be speaking at TGC Women's Conference in Indianapolis on this topic. The panel is called Phones, Folly, and Fruit, Training Our Kids to Tame Technology Usage.
Mm.
So it's going to be a great conversation. There's five of us that will be talking about that at TGC Women's, and of course that will be recorded and up after that. So,
oh, terrific!
You'll get a lot more perspectives than mine.
Well, that's wonderful, and I'm glad it's a topic of conversation and all of those perspectives. Thank you so much for joining me here today on Inside Out.
Thank you, Martha.
My guest has been Anna Mead Harris, editor-in-chief of the Rooted Ministry blog. You'll find her article, Breaking Social Media's Grip on Teens, by going to thegospelcoalition.org. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.